to talk about what just happened. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Here's a chance for a shot. Scores! Austin Matthews has done it again! 52 on the board! Kept alive by Marner. Marner with a pass in front, they score! It's him again! That kid has got another one! Matthews in the corner, can't get a shot. Closer pass for Marner. Marner centering in front of the goal. Matthews scores! Austin Matthews, the hat trick! And he now shares the lead with 54 goals in a season. And the Maple Leafs have a 5-2 lead.
Move over, Rick Vive. But not all the way over. You're sharing the seat right now with Austin Matthews. Leafs are 6-2 winners on the road in Tampa, kicking off a back-to-back in Florida. Brent Gunning, Gord Stellick here with you for Leaf Station postgame. Gordo, I don't know how you can't feel great after a win like that against a team like that in Tampa. How are you feeling after the Leafs 6-2 win?
I just wish it was down there. What a great time to be down there. More Leaf fans, or certainly loud Leaf fans. Tampa Bay's got fans. They should. A couple Stanley Cups. But, wow, I did not expect Austin Matthews to take care of business quite like this. I mean, he's on a roll. Jack Campbell, positive. It's not a playoff game. That's the only thing that would make it better. But you had to love the way they played against the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, once again, it's a big Jack Campbell night, and we will get to that. It was huge for him to have the game he had, but we got to start with Matthews. You know, you and I were down there with about 20,000 of our closest friends watching him get to 50 on Thursday night, and since that's happened, pretty much every time I've been going on a show or just talking with people, do you think he's going to get 60? Do you think he's going to get 60? And I have always thought since he got 50, he'd come up just a little short of that. I figured 58, maybe 59. No, I think we have to believe he's going to get 60 now if he's going to be ripping them off like this. You know, this is what great players do. They go on runs like this, and they have big games when they really matter. It's amazing how quickly he's now tied Rick Vive when he was four away from him just a couple games ago. I'm running out of amazing things to say about this guy, and that's a problem because he's going to keep doing them for a long time.
Well, him and Mitch Marner, right?
Yes, of course.
Both of them. Like, it's funny. You know, we were kind of kidding. We watched that at the end of every the start of every game, pregame skate. Him and Mitch Marner forever have been the final two guys on the ice. And for a couple of minutes, they're by themselves. And we're just talking like Pierre Engvall's trying to be a cool kid. He's now made it a trio, although he does depart. And that leaves it to them those two to be the final two. But a lot of the stuff they do, Brent, like they're just, kind of doing these dipsy doodle, like these kind of things that very few individuals can do. They're almost like I'm watching that Showtime series, Magic Johnson, a rookie year with the LA Lakers, and the blind passes that he did and all that, and just revolutionizing the game. And they're kind of doing that now. Like they're kind of passing the puck to spots. Like all the stuff they do at the end of a warm-up is working in actual NHL games right now for those two.
Yeah, the second goal specifically, the second Matthews goal tonight, Matthews, little quick area pass to Marner. Marner quickly finds him just a couple seconds later after that. And, that's two things kind of jumping out to me. One, obviously, it's incredible talent and vision and understanding of the game. But it's the thing you nailed. It's just guys who spend a ton of time together on the ice, a ton of time together off the ice. It's just, we always talk about chemistry, and what does it mean? That's what it is right there, like the way those two are playing. And then conversely, you mentioned Marner. Matthews makes the great play to set him up for his goal. And that's another play like that of just understanding where Marner's going to jump to after you make the read. Again, we keep going back to it. I don't know how anybody else can tell me there's a better line in hockey. And, it's one thing for them to have games like this. I think it was Bunting who got the hat trick against the Red Wings. But, it's one thing to have a hat trick in a 10-7 game against the Wings. To have a game like that against a team like that, one, it's huge for your confidence and your belief that you can do it if you have to do this in the playoffs in a month's time. But two, I think it kind of goes the other way. It kind of makes Tampa, not that they're not aware of how good they are, but maybe it puts a little doubt in Tampa's mind that they're going to just roll the Leafs if that line specifically is going to look like that.
Yeah, I doubt. I don't know. I don't know. I think Tampa's kind of immune to doubts, but it probably may be an awareness. And for the Leafs, though, I'm with you on that point. They didn't get, you know, I think it hurt them last year not getting those great Atlantic Division opponents at some point throughout the regular season. So just, you know, a sense of, and that Florida game at home was like that as well, you know, a sense of who they're going to have to go through the first two rounds to get somewhere, and the fact they've been up to the task, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, they absolutely have. And, you know, it's just that top line is what rolls. I think another really, you know, important thing to take out of tonight, and I don't want to make a mountain out of it, and no, it's not Jack Campbell. We'll get to that. I know that's the second big story, but just kind of sticking with the big forwards for a second. The fact that you don't, I don't know, obviously I thought about it early on in the game, but pretty quickly it was apparent that the Leafs weren't going to miss William Nylander too much. And I don't want to make that to be, oh, look at what this team could be without him. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying at some point in the playoffs or at some point in a game that counts, we remember this happened last year with John Tavares, you have to find a way without really important players on your team. And the fact that they really didn't miss a beat tonight, I know it's one game and the Leafs are better with William Nylander in the lineup, but I think the fact that they looked the way they did without him tonight speaks volumes about the team too.
Yeah, it does. It does. And you know, you hope everyone's healthy for the playoffs, but certainly 2 years with scary injuries. Jake Muzzin a couple of years ago, and oh my God, John Tavares, that's probably the most sickening I've ever felt seeing initially someone getting hurt. But after it just becomes this convenient excuse. Well, yeah, and Tavares was hurt. Yeah, Muzzin was hurt. And no, you got to play with guys out of the lineup, including maybe Austin Matthews, heaven forbid. I don't know, whomever. And the Tampa Bay Lightning did it with Steven Stamkos in the bubble, just playing that couple of shifts at the end. So, yeah, no Nylander. He's one of their elite players. I mean, you're always a better team with William Nylander in the lineup. But then there's opportunities for others when he's not there. And tonight the team capitalized on those.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, just a little sequitur there. One guy who definitely kind of took advantage of some extra opportunity because of that was Nick Abruzzese. But we need to talk about Jack Campbell here. This has been the kind of question mark lording over the team, well, since Jack Campbell kind of stopped being the Jack Campbell we'd got to know here. Then when Peter Mrazek goes down, the Leafs are looking great. You love the way the team's playing in terms of the skaters in front of the goalie, but goaltending's always been this question mark for the team. And man, you see Campbell have a game like that against the Lightning team that obviously, you know, can mount the pressure. He stops 32 of 34 shots, including some incredible looks from obviously really talented shooters. And man, that's a game that really has to have Campbell feeling good about himself. And of course, you know, us feeling good about Campbell.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they talk about those last six games before he was hurt. And keep in mind, some of that, he was hurt trying to play through it. And he was averaging 4.50 goals against. And, you know, for starters, mentioned all the time, it'd be great if you had goaltending that could steal games for you. That would be phenomenal. And maybe Jack Campbell does that in the playoffs or steals a series for you. But the minimum, play well enough to win. Well enough allowing your team an opportunity to win. So, check. He's done that since he's come back from the injury. And I don't know how much his injury, how much as was he battling a mental down period, whatever it may be, check so far the first couple of games back.
Yeah, and I expect the next time we'll see him will not be tomorrow, but it'll be Thursday when they continue or actually finish up their road trip against the Stars in Dallas. And man, just a funny kind of poetic thing that's of course where the team he got drafted by, you know, LA is kind of where he found his footing there. But yeah, all those moons ago, a top 10 or 11 pick for Campbell, and yeah, that's where I expect we'll see him back as good as he looked tonight. And as important as I think these games are against Tampa and Florida tomorrow, you cannot play with fire here, so I'm sure you're with me. Shalgren gets the start tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's you don't want to really test him. You don't want to really test Jack Campbell, and they'll need somebody. You know, hopefully a decent backup, whoever it may be in the playoffs. But I think it's going to go back to the old rotation that Campbell, as long as he's healthy, because he wants to get some games in as well. There is a gap between the end of the regular season start of the playoffs. Like, it gets kind of slack around then, so you don't have to worry about rest, whether it's mentally or physically. So I think anything but back-to-backs, I think he's going to play.
Yeah, that's where I tend to fall in this, and especially with just how few games are left in the season. You know, I believe it's 13 or 12 left after tonight, and then, you know, one of those is a back-to-back, and he's not going to play in those, so it's not, you know, an insane ask of Jack Campbell to play 9 hockey games in a month, or 10 hockey games, which is kind of what we'd be tracking towards here. You know, I look at a night like tonight, and I think the Leafs played really, really well, like, as a whole. Obviously, that kind of goes without saying. It's a 6-2 win over the back-to-back cup champs. But I thought that was a dominant effort top to bottom. But, you know, you're sitting here, you're looking at the box score, and you're saying, okay, once again, it's that big line kind of giving you all your offense. I look at it and say, that's what your big line's supposed to do. You know, you get a couple of goals from your middle six players in Kerfoot and Engvall, and your big boys are supposed to carry you. I do think with the way the second line hasn't quite been a scoring line for this team, we do tend to go back to the, do they have enough scoring up and down the lineup? I look at it and say, I don't think there's anything to kind of pick at with that win tonight. Of course, there's moments you'd like to have back, but to me, that was just a kind of clinical team effort, or as clinical as it can be against the team as good as Tampa.
Yeah, I agree. Like, if you, whether it's keys to victory at the start, you could, they were all achieved. You know, you could pick three, or probably in this case, pick 30. I will say one thing, and again, I'm not the one facing the shots. It's not like he gave up soft goals, but I don't think anyone has played more sensational games against the Leafs or anybody else in the NHL than Andre Vasilevsky. So I'm a little surprised getting six by him, just period. Even though you can't really fault him on them off the top of my head. Particularly by Austin Matthews, and it was shown a lot on TV how he just moves his stick, makes sure he just takes a subtle last little move to get it away from the defenseman trying to block it, and just kind of get that special trajectory that he's honed to perfection. But yeah, Andre Vasilevsky, to me, there'll be nights like tonight where you're going to get those scoring chances that got you six goals tonight, and another game you'll only get one.
Yeah, I'm just kind of thinking of the goals here. So Engvall, that's a bullet shot. Okay, yeah, maybe you'd like to have that one back. Austin Matthews, sorry. Yeah, he scores. It's probably not your fault. Maybe you'd like to have another crack at it. But, you know, if he's shooting or getting passes from Marner, you really can't fault him there. The Mitch Marner goal is a one-timer point blank in the slot after your defenseman turns it over right beside you. Again, that to me just kind of proves how talented this team is offensively, that you're sitting there and it wasn't Vasilevsky having a stinker of a night. It wasn't, oh man, he needs to be better. You know, maybe if you're doing Lightning post game, you'd quibble with one or two. But like you said, these are just all really, really strong, rock solid plays from the team here. And, you know, I kind of want to move to the back end now. You know, we keep talking about this Leafs blue line, and Jake Muzzin is going to come back, it looks like, in this game against the Panthers. And, you know, you always try to or like to make the point, and you're right about it, that Muzzin in that Columbus series, it was like, well, how could you win if there's no Jake Muzzin? And now he's going to come back, and he's going to be on the third pair, and you think, you hope he can help, but he's far from the guy who has to be the be-all and end-all here.
Well, boy, coming off a couple of concussions, and again, you know, they know what they're doing, the medical staff, and about giving clearance, and it just was weird because, you know, you may have watched or heard the same kind of interviews, like, just seems like a week ago, and he's, you know, talking about quality of life and these kind of things, and I was getting a much different vibe than thinking he was going to return imminently, but it's a depth D. He, you know, he's the guy that struggled at the start of the season. I think Justin Hall's the guy that did as well and has really got his act together the second half. And you know Jake Muzzin, this has not been a banner season for him regardless, and maybe part of it was the injuries all along. So him being healthy, if he can be a depth D, the more the merrier.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, it was kind of the point made when the Leafs dealt Travis Dermott, and I'm not relitigating that trade. I think it was time for him to kind of get a new, you know, a new lease on life in the NHL, try to, you know, find his way somewhere else. But you need 7, 8, 9 defensemen. Hey, you want to go on a real deep run, you might need 10. And that's the encouraging thing, is that you have a guy like Jake Muzzin. And I'm not sitting here saying, oh, he's going to be your 7th or 8th defenseman. He's probably, if he's the Jake Muzzin that we saw anything like before this season, he's probably going to be one of your top 6. But just having that depth is really important. I think the interesting thing with him kind of going forward in what you do is – who do you play him with? You know, obviously that pair with Hall just hasn't really worked out. I wonder if you start him with a guy like Brody. You put Brody on the right side. He's kind of been the security blanket seemingly for everybody on this D-core. And, well, Mark Giordano's kind of becoming that on the left side. What would you do with Muzzin? Because I'm not saying him and Hall can't play together again this year, but I don't think that's where I'd start him.
I remember my sister Karen, she worked at a restaurant that was busy all the time. And when she was new, there'd be like a senior server that would sort of keep an eye and would quickly come in and help if you fell behind on tables. Hmm. And that's what TJ Brody is for the Leafs, right? That's kind of
honestly,
you know, what he is right now. That if you're trying to feel your oats, if you've been having a little bit of a rough patch, if you're trying to get reacclimated in Muzzin's case to playing again, that he seems to be the guy. So I'm with you on that. I mean, given now that with Lyubushkin and Giordano, it changes the complexion so much about, you know, having options out there, where before you said, well, who else can the person play with? Now you've got those options.
Yeah, it is amazing how adding one more body, and, you know, I don't want to make Mark Giordano out to be just a body. He's been more for that for this team. He's been kind of a guy who can kind of stabilize things. Lyubushkin, another guy in that mix, and it just kind of gives you so many different looks of what way you can do it. You know, Justin Hall comes in, it's likely Timothy Liljegren that goes out. And, you know, maybe when he first, you know, got looks this year, you're saying, okay, Liljegren's your eighth D, I guess I'm okay with that. You know, this is a guy who I think on a lot of teams is not really getting thought about being taken out of the lineup at all. So, again, it just kind of goes to hammer home and show just how strong the Leafs' depth is kind of up and down the lineup. You know, we think of them as a top-heavy team because of all those salaries, and they are. Like, they have the best top line in hockey, so you don't get you're going to be a little top-heavy when that's the case. But it's the availability of these bodies that can kind of give them stuff. You know, we look at a guy like Engvall up with the forwards, and, you know, Liljegren, not that he's been quite as impactful as Engvall, but he's another guy who it's just, I think, if he's playing in playoff games, you don't feel like it's, you know, something to worry about like maybe you would have early on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, Engvall and Mikheyev are two guys that I've really liked the way they've elevated their game. And Leafs, you know, going into last year's playoff, really didn't have third and fourth lines going like that, you know, contributing that kind of offense. So I've liked that. I mentioned about Justin Hall. I thought he's picked up his game. And I liked Rasmus Sandin as well before he got injured, obviously, just his kind of growth. You know, Liljegren, been kind of fits and starts, but the depth, and again, the playoffs, because the star players, no question, they weren't able to do it the last 2 years, but the deeper teams are the ones that go far as well, that, you know, get the big goal by Ilya Mikheyev, get the big goal by the, you know, game-winning goal by Pierre Engvall for a change, you know, something like that in a playoff series, and that'll be huge. So it's not, you know, you don't just win exclusively because of your top line.
Yeah, look at the Lightning, right? I mean, they are as loaded a team as is, and who was it who scored the goal that won them the cup last year? Ross Colton. Not exactly the first name that comes to mind when you think of all the Lightning's high power offense. I want to hear from some of the Leafs. We're going to step aside for a little bit before we do that. But Gordo, I think kind of big picture, just looking at it, for you, how much does a game like tonight, it's one game, you don't make a mountain out of it or anything like that, but does it give you more belief that the Leafs can, I don't even want to say hang, because I think we all think the Leafs can hang in a playoff series with the Lightning, but they've done it twice. Well, they've done it like nine times, what the Leafs are trying to do once, win a series here. You know, how much does a game like tonight kind of change how you look at a, I think, likely playoff series between these two teams?
Well, I will answer your question, but I do remember when the Leafs beat the Ottawa Senators every year, and one of those playoff wins, Ottawa was a better team with points, and Ottawa had just stuck it to the Leafs the last two times they met in the last, like, five games of the regular season, and the Leafs came out 1-4 straight, you know, made some adjustments in the playoffs. So, you know, I'm not going to rain on the parade on that suggestion. That's kind of extreme, but, you know, that's what can happen as well. But I just think, to your point, Brent, that I think it's important for this team after not playing Tampa, and really 2 years ago, when COVID hit, they were supposed to play Florida two more times. Remember that? Like, the Florida games were late. So they never really got these divisional rival games in the last 2 years. So I think for the Maple Leafs. It's about good habits. It's about positives. And I think you know, Tampa Bay, they got two Stanley Cups in a row. It's that there's no skin in the game like that for them. But for the Maple Leafs, I think there's some value in meaning that way.
Yeah, I think it's really important for them. And you mentioned the Canadian division there not having those kind of games. Yeah, it got chippy against Winnipeg sometimes, but you're so sick of seeing each other that it didn't turn into animosity. It turned into, you know, borderline complacence at times, you know, for everybody in the league when you're just kind of playing the same five or six teams all the time. I think it's really important for them to have games like this leading into the playoffs. And I'm just looking at the schedule here, the last five games of the regular season. The Leafs visit Tampa, they visit Florida, they visit Washington, they're home to the Red Wings, okay, and then they're home to Boston. If that stretch of hockey can't get you ready for the playoffs, and yeah, most of those teams' spots will be home and cooled, but you're still going to be kind of getting ready. It feels like that stretch just kind of perfectly sets them up to be kind of peaking or readying themselves heading into the playoffs.
I know, like let's face it, we talk quite a bit about the Leafs, so it's like overanalyzing is not really the case, because I think we're looking and trying to look at it constructively, and it's something different, and there's value in something different, and having success with something different in the regular season. I mean, last year it was those three games against the Edmonton Oilers where they almost shut them out all three, just gave up one goal late in the third game, and three different goaltenders played, and you know, but and I remember talking to Joe Bowen and just said, wow, I've never experienced this kind of rarefied air, you know, again, going against a Connor McDavid type team. But that wasn't as good of a preparation for the playoffs as battling these Atlantic Division teams that they've done of late and will in the next few games.
Yeah, no, fun stretch now, fun stretch to end the season. And the last 47 games have been a fun stretch for Austin Matthews because he has 47 goals in that. That includes a hat trick tonight, goals 52, 53, and 54 on the season. Of course, 54 tying him for the single season franchise record with Rick Vive. Something tells me he will nudge past Squid for 55 at some point before the season's over. Gordo, plenty for you and I to get to, but before we do that, let's hear from the man who's had a hat trick tonight. Here is Austin Matthews.
I mean, this is a big game for us. Obviously, you know, they're a really good team. They know how to win. So it was, I think, an important game for us. Obviously, at this point of the season, all these points count and really matter. So I thought it was just a really full effort from all 23 guys, all four lines, three sets of D, full 60 minutes tonight. So I thought it was just a really complete game from everybody.
What does it feel like to see the hats come down when you're
I don't think it's any secret. I think we travel pretty well, you know, especially, you know, this part of the U.S. and Florida. I think a lot of people kind of migrate down here towards, you know, this area, especially in the wintertime. So it's fun playing down here, and it's fun having the, you know, the visiting support from our fans coming all over the place.
What do you mean to have a share of the single-season franchise record?
Yeah, it's humbling. It means a lot, obviously, just to be in the same sentence as, you know, a guy like Rick Vive and these other guys that have come before us that, you know, just kind of represented what it means to be a Toronto Maple Leaf. So it means a lot, and it's extremely humbling.
Do you know Rick at all?
I've just met him in passing, you know, through different events throughout the years in the team. So he's always been really good to me, always been really friendly and nice.
How does it feel to have a guy like Jack Campbell lineman in the mix? Really well,
yeah, I think he's a guy that you know, just wants to compete in there, and you know, we play, you know, teams like tonight, you know, teams that obviously, you know, have won, that are good, that are really deep. I think he just raises his level and you know, gives it everything he has every single night. But you know, especially in these games, he wants to be great, and I thought he was excellent tonight.
Once again, Mitch and Bunting are big parts of a big night for you tonight. They've been with you since day one of this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these guys, you know, I just think we have so much fun together. We're extremely close outside of the rink and really enjoy spending time. And you know, I just think we try to mesh as well as possible. And I think the chemistry's grown throughout the season. And, you know, I think we've just stayed hungry and motivated, and just every night trying to bring it and trying to compete and be good on both sides of the puck and just have fun out there. So obviously those two guys have been a blast to play with. Mitchie's, you know, he's unbelievable. He's a special player. Special guy, as well as Bunce, and you know, I think all three of us just try to feed off each other and play our best every night.
What do you think? Were you thinking you might get a fourth tonight?
just go out there and play hockey, and whatever happens, happens.
What does a win like this do for the team's confidence, not just with the score, but who you're playing, the two-time Cup champions, all that, as you enter this final of the regular season?
I think it's obviously really positive. You know, it's at this point of the season, this is where you want to start building momentum and, you know, building, generating multiple wins in a row and stuff like that. So our schedule's been tough. We're playing good teams. We got another tough team, obviously, tomorrow. And, you know, we're just trying to play full 60 minutes every single night and stay focused on the task at hand.
What are you most proud of in terms of the team's effort tonight?
I just think just the full effort from everybody, full 60 minutes. You know when you play good teams, teams that have won, teams that know how to win, you need a full 60 minutes effort from everybody, and you need everybody on board. And I just thought from goaltending to our D to forwards, I thought everybody was on the same page tonight and just competing and you know, just played a really well all-around game.
I would agree. I would agree with Austin Matthews' assessment of that. He gets the hat trick tonight in the Leafs' win on the road in Tampa. 54 goals now on the season for him. That ties the Leafs' single-season record. Gordo, I threw out the number. Everybody else has been doing the same. 47 goals in 47 games. We do it all the time. We talk about how crazy this is. You've seen a ton of things in this game. Of course, you know, Gretzky did it in 39. This is an incredible clip that he's going on here.
Well, it is, and I like as well, he gave a shout-out in some respect to Ricky Vive. I think very highly of Ricky Vive. He wore the Leafs jersey with a lot of pride. He really did. He really did. So I'm glad that Austin acknowledged that, but I've never seen this. I've never seen this. You know, 47 and 47, and we keep going back to he didn't play the first three games of the year and got off mm-hmm. to a slow start. And I think a lot of us thought because, you know, you think to win the Rocket Richard Trophy, you really can't have a down 10-game segment. And he did to start the season, part of it because he didn't play. And then all of a sudden to turn it on like this. Even we can do this math, though, right? What he's averaging goal per game?
Oh, in this stretch, even I can. You're sneaky good at math, but even I can say goal per game in 47 there, Cord. Even I'm capable of hitting that one. It's incredible. And, you know, it's funny. You talk about Rick Vive wearing the jersey with pride. Of course he did. Sounds like Austin Matthews does as well. You could hear the smile on his face talking about the hats hitting the ice. That's what it's like to be a part of Leaf Nation. Pretty much wherever you go, it's not always going to be a home game, but you're always going to have some home fans there. Plenty to get into tonight. Got to hear from Jack Campbell as well, potentially Leafs head coach Sheldon Keefe, Brent Gunning, and Gord Stellick here with you. We continue to break down a 6-2. Yeah. 6-2 Leafs win on the road in Tampa. Keep on listening here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Leafs Nation postgame. Brent Gunning, Gord Stellick here with you. Happy times in the Atlantic Division because the Leafs not double up, but triple up the Tampa Bay Lightning. 6-2 is the final on the road in Tampa. Half of the Leafs' goals tonight coming from the league leader in goals, Austin Matthews, with goals 52, 53, and 54 on the season. Of course, 54 ties him with Rick Vive. Gord, you and I have broke it down. Let's hear from Leafs head coach Sheldon Keefe.
Sheldon, do you get caught up in moments when a player like Austin ties a franchise record?
I wouldn't say I'd get caught up in it, but I'm aware of it, and I think it's outstanding. I mean, for him to take first of all, getting the 50 goals, that in itself is a milestone for him, and then no hesitation, you know, he's on to the next thing, which is the next game and the next challenge. I think his focus remains on leading this team. And that's the best part about him. He just stays humble, continues to work. He knows he's a great player, knows the goals are going to come. This is part of what he does for our club. And but he's leading our team in lots of different ways. And yeah, that's what I'm most excited about. But no doubt the accomplishment of, you know, tying that record here and doing it so convincingly here on the road. It's a team like this. And just around the corner from getting the 50th is pretty outstanding.
What do you like about the team's overall effort tonight?
I just thought we were disciplined in how we played, how we competed. you know, not a perfect game, but you're not going to play a perfect game against that team. They work, they compete, they, you know, make it real hard on you to get out of your zone. Pretty even first period, you know, but really liked, you know, how we pulled away there in the second, and then just did a really good job of taking care of the game from there.
Yeah, he was
excellent. I mean, it's not an easy team to play against. You know, they've got great shooters, but great passers. They move the puck across the rink really well, through seams, change sides on you, difficult to track, and then they've got lines that are really heavy and pound the puck from the top of traffic and all of that. So it's not an easy game to play. You know, I don't think he loved the second goal, but he kept them at two and shut it down from there, and it's everything we need and want from a goalie. Yeah, great. Pierre was outstanding tonight, all the way through the game. I mean, that first period, you know, I thought he was our best player in that first period, and really set the tone for our game. And not just in the goal, but just with how he played, how he competed, the speed that he played with. I just thought he was excellent tonight. So, you know, obviously Austin has a big night tonight, and that line with Mitch and Bunce was really good. But just terrific performances all the way through our lineup. I thought Tavares' line was really good. They played a lot of time against the Kucherov and Point, and did a great job. Kerfoot scores us a huge goal. You know, obviously Pierre's goal, like we're saying here, but that line was really good with Kampf and Iverzizi. I thought also was better tonight than he was in his first game, which is what you're looking for, is continued progression. And then the Blackwell group just gave us great efforts as well. Played lots of minutes and gave us good shifts. Defense was really solid throughout, so it's a good team effort and great results here on the road. Clean ourselves up here now and look to do it again tomorrow.
Your thoughts on facing the Panthers and they put some pressure on the
standings? Oh, we're excited about it. I mean, we come on this trip excited for this opportunity to compete and play. You know, we start with an important win in Philadelphia, and then we come out here, and you know, I mean, this back-to-back, you know, in Florida here with Tampa and the Panthers, you know, it's been kind of, you know, like a flashing light in the schedule for all season long. You know that, you know, this is going to be a difficult one for us to play like this here tonight. Is great, but obviously a very good team is going to be waiting for us tomorrow, and we're going to have to be prepared for that. There's as good as any team in the league on home ice. And, you know, it'll be another challenge for us.
Are we seeing a version of Pierre that you kind of felt was always there and you just had to push him a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's with how he's skating, he's being assertive. You know, he's earned more opportunity here of late. You know, he's solidified himself in our top nine, and that's really allowed him to build positive momentum and just feel good and confident. So that's part of it. But yeah, I've seen consistent performance from him, and he's been playing on his toes and playing with speed and you know, getting offensive contributions, of course, is great. But he's just been a very responsible and consistent player. That's really what we've been looking for.
Is there a chance William might be available tomorrow?
There's a chance, yeah. We'll see. He's going to fly with the team to, I don't know where we're going, South Florida. I don't know what city or whatever the plane lands in, but we're heading that way, and Willie will be with us. So we'll make a decision on him based on how he's feeling and make a decision on Jake Muzzin as well.
Yeah, we're going where we're going. I don't know. He doesn't fly the plane. He doesn't need to know. He hops on a bus, then he gets off, then he gets on a plane, then he gets off. Coach the team, whatever rink he finds himself in, there's Leafs head coach Sheldon Keefe. Anytime he's joking and laughing like that, the night probably went pretty well for the Leafs. Gord, he had some high praise for Pierre Engvall. Quick little stat I want to give here. Since November 24th, Pierre Engvall now more even strength goals than John Tavares or William Nylander, and I don't say that to poke either of those two. It's more about the great play they've got from Engvall. Nylander, Muzzin, game time decisions tomorrow. We'll have the game. I'm really looking forward to it, Gordo.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I like the Blackwell group too. It sounded like a law firm or something.
It does. Well, it really does.
But yeah, but he's the guy. He's been unafraid to be a little hard on Engvall in the past, and this time he really, really went out of his way. And I agree. I mean, you know, you got to get those support cast guys, hopefully, you know, playing at their highest level in the playoffs. And he's been great the last whatever number of games it is, 20 games or so.
Blackwell, Kerfoot, and Abruzzese, the Harvard law firm of Leafs, of smallish forwards there. I really liked what they've been getting from Colin Blackwell. Of course, Mark Giordano headlining that trade there, but I've really loved his addition as well. Gordo, as I mentioned, you and I will be back tomorrow when the Leafs continue their roadie. They continue the back-to-back in Florida. Schalgren gets the start for the Leafs as they look for a win against the Panthers. Panthers probably looking for a little revenge after the way things went the last time. Can't wait for puck drop. That comes tomorrow night. Thanks so much for listening tonight. It is a 6-2 win for the Leafs. This has been Leafs Nation Postgame with Brent Gunning and Gord Stellick. Thanks for listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.